The professor sat or stood before his class, philosophy class. He reached behind his lectern and he brought out a large glass empty mayonnaise jar. And then he reached behind the lectern and he took out a big paper sack and he began to take golf balls out of the paper sack and he put them into the mayonnaise jar and he kept putting them in until he couldn't get any more in. He held it up to the class and he said, "Is this full?" And the class, "Yeah, we agree, yeah, it's full." He set it down and he reached behind the lectern again and he pulled out another sack and he began pouring pea gravel into the top and then he'd shake it and the pea gravel would fall down in between the golf balls and he kept shaking it and adding more until he couldn't get any more pea gravel in it. Then he picked it up and he said, "Now, is this full?" And the class looked, "Well, yeah, I guess so," and they all agreed that it was full. He then reached behind the lectern and he took out a bag of sand, and he began to pour sand in the top. This brought a laughter throughout the class. They kind of had it figured out now, and he shook it, and the sand fell down in the empty spaces in between. He continued to shake, and he continued to fill it up with sand. He said, "Now is it full?" Well, they weren't too sure now if it was full or not, but they allowed that it probably was full at this point. And then he reached in behind the lectern, and he took out two mugs of coffee, and he poured the coffee in the top and filled it up. Then he said something profound. He said, "This jar is your life. The golf balls are the important things. The golf balls are your family, your health, could be your spiritual community. It's those that you love. It's your friends. It's your connection to your higher power. The pebbles, those are the things in your life. The pebbles are your job, your house, your bills, that angry boss, or that loving boss. Those are the things in your lives. And the sand, that's the day-to-day stuff that gets you. That's the guy that cuts you off in traffic. Or the lady that smiles at you at the grocery store. It's the things in your life. Generally the irritants, I think." And his point was this. If we fill our lives with the sand and the pebbles, there's not enough room for the golf balls. The title of my talk today is Good Measure. And I want to thank everybody for coming out today. Jenna, that was absolutely beautiful. Thank you.
My choir is awesome today. I just want to thank my choir for being like incredible.
And choir, yeah. You guys are, and Dawn, I don't know where she got off to. Dawn, that was amazing. That's one of my favorite songs, and the way she does it is really inspiring to me. So thank you very, very much, and it's great to see everybody here today. Good measure. I think that our philosophy is sometimes misunderstood. There was a movie out, it was called The Secret. Some of you may have seen it. And it described a lot about what we believe. But I almost think that sometimes it did more harm than it did good, because it only showed one facet of what we believe and who we are. People tend to look at that and think ours is a get-rich-quick philosophy or a get-rich-quick way of being in the world, and that is certainly not the case. We do believe in an abundant universe. The sacred reading was beautiful. It was perfect. And we do believe that as beloved children of the Most High, that we have an inherent right to all of that abundance in the universe, all that goodness. It is ours. We are entitled to all of the riches of the universe, and we can have as much as we're willing to accept. And we also believe in the law of circulation. So today, I have two really major points. One is, it's not all about get. And number two, I'm going to talk a little bit deeper about the law of circulation and giving. Eric Butterworth wrote several books, but he is best known for his books on prosperity and abundance. And Eric Butterworth said that any study of prosperity fails unless it teaches you how and why to give. He's making a point there that in order to really understand receiving, we have to understand giving. Another misconception about our philosophy is that we are honed in only on the teachings of Ernest Holmes. And of course, we know that's not true. Holmes never claimed to have came up with an original idea or inspiration himself. He assimilated the ideas of all kinds of different places. And one that I'm picking on now that I think is really accurate is from our Buddhist brothers and sisters and their idea of the Four Noble Truths. Noble Truth one, number one is there is suffering in the world. We don't deny there is suffering in the world. Number two is that the reason people suffer is because they want things. It is a selfish craving for material goods, power, fame, admiration. All those things are temporary. And it is that fixation on temporary things that results in misery and suffering. Noble truth number three, then, is that freedom from suffering comes from detachment from selfish cravings and those temporary things. And the way to go about that is through noble truth number four, which is the Eightfold Path. But the point is that the way to stay away from suffering is to stay away from attachment to those very things, to temporary things. Point number two, I want to talk about the law of circulation and giving. In the time when Jesus began to walk the earth and began to preach and began to go through Galilee, Judea, and teach, he held many, many opportunities where he talked to the people. In the book of Luke, talk about one particular time, and this is the way Luke interpreted what Jesus had to say. Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, shaken down and running over, they will pour into your robe. What does he mean by good measure? This whole thing of shaken down, what is all that? Well, in those days, they certainly had means of currency. They did have coins. They had gold and silver and everything. But the main method of currency and exchange was still barter. And grain was very often used. They hadn't invented pockets yet. And they had things like aprons, and they pulled the front of it up, and you could put the grain in the apron. And it depended on your measure. And if you shook it and settled the grain down, like in the cereal boxes, they say sold by weight, not volume. Open a cereal and it looks like it's half gone. Well, it's the same kind of thing. They settle it down and then you get a good measure. And what the idea is that when you put a good measure out into the world, a good measure is what is returned to you. And we know this today, what comes around goes around. We've talked about that the last few weeks. What we put forth into the universe is what comes back to us. Good measure. Michael Beckwith said this really well. What we do with all of our resources, talents, skills, and money is made sacred or profane by the consciousness in which we use it. If we dedicate our life, our resources, and our talents to spirit, they are made sacred and become a love offering to life itself. A love offering to life itself. So to help me illustrate this, once again this week, I'd like to invite a congregant, Neil Smith, to come up and talk to us a little bit about his experiences with circulation. Thank you, Neil.
I think I'm definitely past the 51% mark, where I've actually bought into the whole idea of abundance and circulation. For a while, if somebody used to tell me that life was abundant, I would be very skeptical of that. Now, there's really not that much out there. If it's abundant for me, it's not going to be abundant for somebody else, or if it's abundant for somebody else, then they're actually taken away from me. So I had to get past that type of thinking. Initially, I think my first example was actually my mother. My dad was bipolar, and that demonstrated itself in his work. So our income was never very steady. Sometimes it was up, sometimes it was down. And my mom would find herself in a really tight situation where she'd have to actually get a bill paid or something like that. And she was constantly putting this energy out there, and she would always get the bills paid. Enough that I started getting curious about that. And I said, how you doing this? And something was just about that positive energy, that positive attitude, and then life would show up to her. And when it would, then she would just get all excited and say, I love living like this. This is just how it works. My mother also taught me that it is better to give than to receive. As a result, I don't think she experienced the abundance that she could. My personal philosophy, my personal discovery, is that you are just as imbalanced if you believe it is better to give than to receive, as you would be if you believe it is better to receive than it is to give. I had to get past that. Some of us are actually very much givers, right? Mm-hmm. Give, 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 give. How easy is it for you to receive? You almost fight against it. My mom, I would buy something for her, and she would say, how much is it? Because she wanted to pay me back. And I would go, I'm not telling you, because I don't want you to pay me back. And she would get mad, you know? And so I says, Mom, do you like giving? She goes, yes. And I said, so do I.
Oh, good one.
Let me give. So you know what you are. I mean, if you're definitely a giver, the challenge is getting yourself to receive. I had to get to that point where I started letting myself let people give to me. I had to start believing in abundance and letting that abundance actually come to me. And if you are a receiver and you know you just naturally take and you can get the most out of situations in life and opportunities and things like that, the challenge is challenge yourself to actually give. Don't give more than you have. Don't receive more than you have. Just challenge yourself that little bit more. I love that when I'm at the store and I pay for my groceries, and it says, would you like to give $1, $2, $3, $5 more to an opportunity? I look at that and say, can I give away $1 and still live my life? Mm-hmm. Yes, I can. Yes, I do that almost every time, right? Can I give away $100 and still live my life? Yes, but it might throw off my budget a little bit. Okay, I'm not ready for the $100. Can I give away $1,000 today? Probably not, but I'm slowly I have that attitude of circulation and abundance, and I have those grains of sand that I can actually, that $1 and here and there I can buy into that. So I think there's the challenge there is actually learning that circulation, letting yourself receive so you have more to give, letting yourself give so that you have more to receive, and doing that actually with intent. And the way that I actually broke into this, because with finances, that was necessary. I couldn't get past that whole abundance thing. My parents thought that they were poor, and yes, they were. Had to get past that. But I start sharing in other areas. I had certain talents that I would just share. I had time. I had service. Yeah. And so it's the same law. It's just demonstrated in different ways. So here I am starting to circulate my service. I would give my time just abundantly. And then all of a sudden, opportunities would actually come back. My last four jobs, I did not apply. I mean, I did not go job hunting. They just simply came to me. Mm-hmm. people would come up to me and said, I'd like you to apply for this job. The last one that I was actually in, I was in a situation where I'm giving and I'm receiving and I see my bills, and I thought, I would like to give more. I want more to give. Universe, I need more so I can give more. Literally within 2 weeks, somebody approached me, had a meeting, and said, I'd like to apply for this job. I applied for the job and I received significantly more. Mm-hmm. Now I have more to give.
Yeah.
Circulation is a principle, buying into it, and then once you actually get into it, money can be a byproduct, or other things are a byproduct. You're just starting to circulate. Circulate your time, circulate your talent, circulate your gifts, circulate your money, and then it just actually buys into it. The other thing that I actually noticed, and I'll wrap up with this one, is actually commitment. Mm-hmm. When you show up with commitment to the universe, it conspires in your favor. It actually comes back to you. So I'm an auto tithe payer for the center. However, what's more important is that I'm an auto tithe payer. I used to give here and there a little bit, and I used to get a little sporadic, like my mom. It would be sporadic. I'm also an auto donator at other organizations too, National Public Radio, other different types of things, individuals. I actually help other people. It has nothing to do with the center. The important thing is that I'm actually circulating. And as I circulate my time, my talents, my money, everything, it just all just cascades back onto me like crazy. So I'm definitely past the 51% on the abundance and circulation. All right.
And I don't need to say any more. He did it all. That's exactly it. He put a bow on that package that was perfect. And that really is it. We are in our pledge campaign now. We'll be collecting up all of the pledge cards if you've had an opportunity to do it. This is that commitment. That is that opportunity to make a commitment. And it's for the center, but more importantly, it's for you. It's a commitment to yourself to step into this law of circulation, to step into giving. So we're going to collect those, and it helps our leadership council plan and all that stuff, but it's also for you, more importantly. There was once a wise lady. She was on a long trip. And as she walked through the mountains, she came to a stream. And she bent down to get a drink of cool water from this pure mountain stream. She looked down, and there was a beautiful stone, beautiful gem. And she picked it up and realized that it was not only beautiful, it was very, very valuable. And she picked it up and she put it in her knapsack, and she continued to walk. And that night she stopped and she began to prepare her meager meal. And a young man approached her and he said, I'm without food. Could you possibly share and help me? And she said, yes. And she opened her sack, her rucksack, to share some food with him, and he saw the stone, and he asked her if she would give it to him, if he could have it. And without hesitation, she reached in and she handed him the stone, and she gave it to him. He was elated, and he got something to eat, and then he left. And he walked and he walked. And then he stopped and he turned around and he went back and he pursued this wise woman. And he finally caught up with her again. And as he caught up with her, he gave her the stone back. And he said, I know the value of this stone. This is enough to keep me in comfort the rest of my life. But I want to give it back to you because I want something even more valuable from you. What I want from you is what is inside of you that allowed you to give me that stone. And so the takeaway today, the one thing that I want everybody to to know is that my wish for each and every one of you is that you can find generosity, caring, loving as one of the golf balls in your life. And so with the awareness of the prosperity, the goodness, in this world, I ask my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in embracing our congregation in love and light, and simply knowing that as we navigate through this earth and this experience that we call life, that as children of the Most High, we are indeed blessed. We are blessed with the ability to give and to receive. We are blessed with good health as our inherent right. It is our nature. And anything other than that is an effect and is temporary. And I know that as we move in this plane, more than anything else, we are beings of love. And as we step forth and greet one another in love, that all of the difficulties are made small, that that love multiplies and returns 10 times over. Every relationship is blessed. And so I just give thanks now. I give thanks for my awareness of the power and the presence of God in and as each and every one of us. I give thanks for health. I give thanks for love. I give thanks for the presence of God. And so it is.